I want to praise God for all that he's done. And we've been looking at some things over the past couple weeks. The first was, and songs we sang this morning could have tied in with it, the idea of you have to know who you are. You know, the whole idea of the whole Jewish nation basically missing it when they said, is not this Jesus, you know, the carpenter's son, and he wasn't Jesus, the carpenter's son. He was Yeshua, the son of the living God. You know, big difference. Then we talked about the idea of how going into battle, what God did, he made all the warriors incapable of fighting because 7 days before the battle, he had them all circumcised. And at age over 8 days, it takes a while. So they couldn't fight. He put them in the position where they couldn't fight so that when the battle was won, they would have to admit, well, they didn't have to admit it, but they could see. Like David said, this day, you will be delivered into my hands. And so I want us to look this morning, we're continuing in that whole vein of ideas with the children in the wilderness and what was going on there. And Jesus, first you have to know who you are. See, the children of Israel forgot who they were. They had been in Egypt for a long time. And people, we've been in Egypt a long time. And we forget how God provides. Yeah. And they forgot. They had been in Egypt about 400 years. But they forget that about 70 people went in. And when they came out, it was close to 3 million. So even though they were in, quote, bondage, they were blessed. And then they kind of forgot that the Red Sea opened and drowned the enemy. And they forgot they didn't have permanent press clothing. They had clothing, shoes that didn't wear out for 40 years. Can you imagine that? Now, I can understand looking at some people's shoe closets where they could have so many shoes that you could wear a different one every day and for 40 years. But when you have one pair and they don't wear, and all you do is walk for 40 years and they didn't wear out. And they had forgotten. And so God wanted to show them. And how could he show them? The same way he shows us. And oftentimes we miss it the way they missed it. And in Exodus chapter 16, the people were complaining. Yeah. They were complaining because they had come out of Egypt and they were in the desert. I don't know if you've ever been in a desert. There's not a whole lot to eat. You know, that it's just, there's nothing there. So they were complaining there was no food. And it picks up in verse 13, because they, you know, were complaining. And God said, okay, so at evening, quail came and covered the camp. So they had something to eat. In the morning, there was a layer of dew all around the camp. When the layer of dew evaporated, there on the desert surface were fine flakes, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they asked one another, and the Hebrew word would be M-A-N-H-U, only it would be H-U. M-A-N, because you read right to left. So what they said was, manhu. Manu, what is it? And Moses answers them because they didn't know what it was. Moses told them, it says, it is bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord commanded. And it goes on and tells about how much they could gather, a quart for each person. But the thing was, tradition says, have you ever eaten, I don't know, veggie links, Morning Star Farm products? They're all made out of the same thing, but they taste different. You know, some taste like bacon, some taste like sausage, some taste like hot dogs. Tradition says, at least in Hebrew history, read a little bit on why did they call it manna. Well, they called it manna because God put into their minds, whatever you think it to be, that's what it will taste like. So if they wanted steak, all they had to do was think Golden Corral. Yeah. If they wanted, you know, fish and chips, Long John Silver's. Yeah. Whatever they wanted to be, it was the same thing, but they got to decide what it was going to taste like. God wanted them to learn something. What he needed them to learn is the lesson we need to learn. It doesn't matter what it is. It's what's in your mind that makes the difference. I remember watching Sesame Street. And one time I do that for educational TV. There was this, one of the Muppets comes out and says, have you seen my mother? And they said, well, what does she look like? He says, she's the most beautiful woman in the world. And so they started bringing all these women in, you know, movie stars, you know, beauty pageant. No, that's not my mother. My mother's the most beautiful woman in the world. And finally, there was a scrub woman that came in to clean up after. He said, that's my mother. See, it's what's in the mind that makes the difference. God says you were fearfully and wonderfully made. You get put into situations. The situation either controls you or you control the situation. It's what you do with it. I read a story not too long ago, true story. A man was trapped in a refrigerator car in a train yard. He was in there working, and they closed it while he was working. And he knew that if he couldn't get anybody's attention, he was dead. He was going to freeze to death. And so he spent the night there. And when they opened the door in the morning, he was dead. He had frozen to death. The problem was the temperature in the car was 72 degrees. It wasn't on. But in his mind, they did an autopsy, and the doctor said, we can't understand it. The man froze to death. How can you freeze to death at 72 degrees? That's easy. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Mr. Mack, who used to actually start at the storehouse, when you called him, very seldom would he answer the phone. Which was good, because I used to love his message. He'd always say, you've reached Ray McEnany? Remember, this is the day the Lord has made. Psalm 118, I believe it is. Rejoice and be glad in it. You don't have to. Sometimes people say to me, have a nice day, and I'll say, I'm sorry, I've made other plans. Yeah. It's a choice. You can do with it whatever you choose. That's what manna was. Manna was a lesson to the children of Israel. Look, you're going to get the same thing. Have you ever seen the bumper sticker? Different days, same stuff. Same stuff, different day. Not if you have manna. Not if you learn the lesson. Like Carol said during her blessing time, this was one of the most horrible weeks. Praise God. Like, yeah, Marianne was saying, yeah, it was a bad week, but God took that bad week and blessed her, and you can see whatever you want in it. Just like you don't realize who you are, God tells you who you are, but we have to keep singing that song over again in our minds. Tell me once again who I am to you. Yeah. We have to keep singing the song, I am redeemed. Yeah. I'm not who I used to be. Children of Israel forgot it. So they didn't have to eat manna for 40 years. They chose to. God took them right up to the promised land, sent the spies in. 10 of them said, can't be done. There are giants in the land. And there were. There were giants in the land. Historical accounts said there were almost 7. So they weren't sure whether it was 5 or 7. By the time 40 years later, there were hundreds of them. Would have been much easier going up again. And they came back and they said, can't go. Giants in the land. 2 of them were David. Said, I don't care how big they are. We serve a God. They forgot. I mean, if they weren't 40 years in the desert at this point, just a few weeks. God opened the Red Sea after he killed the firstborn in Egypt, after he turned the water to blood, after he did the flies and the frogs, after he sent the locusts, after Pharaoh chased them and God drowned Pharaoh in the Red Sea, after they saw the pillar of fire and the cloud, after they had been led, after they had the quail, after they had already been eating manna for a little while, all of that had happened. And they're going, you know, I'm not sure God can provide. Yesterday morning, we get meat for the storehouse on Friday and Monday. And so I went to do the pickup yesterday and called Kay. I said, got the pickup, got the meat today. I got... You know, they put it in these big boxes. I said, I got 3. She said, 3 boxes? I said, no, 3 pieces. So technically, Kay, we should close next week. Because, I mean, we only have 3 pieces to give out. Or I can say, I have no clue how he's going to do it, what he's going to do. I just know he's going to do it. That's what manna was all about. It's what you do between your ears. See, our minds can make us so afraid of situations that come up at the close. On Thursday, somebody came up and said, we need to have a meeting, blah, 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 blah. You know, and I can sit all weekend and say, I wonder what the meeting's about. You know, Jessica, this may not be you, but it's me. If I'm not in control, we're in trouble, people. You know, I'm not a control freak or anything. I just like things my way. Kay has a sweatshirt that says, I'm not bossy, I just have better ideas. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm not arguing with it. Yeah, think about what God is doing with something. He sent them something so they wouldn't know what it was. And tradition says whatever they wanted it to be, this is the day the Lord has made. What in the world are you going to do with it? Don Nelson tells a story about a man who was sitting just outside the city limits, and a U-Haul pulls up and says, "We're thinking about moving to this town. What are the people like here?" And the guy says, "Well, what were the people like where you came from?" They said, "Oh my, that's why we're moving." They were miserable. They were mean. They were never happy. They were always stabbing you in the back. He said, "Well, people are pretty much the same here." So they kept driving. A couple hours later, another U-Haul pulls up. Says, "We're thinking of moving here. What's this town like?" He said, "Well, what were the people like where you came from?" "Oh, we hated to leave. The nicest people. Everybody just loved each other." He said, "People, same way here." You get to make that decision. You get to make the decision. Some people aren't happy unless they're unhappy. Kay Price says she comes from a family that are professional worriers. Yeah. She says they can worry about not having things to worry about. Now, you can do that if you choose. Or you can say, it's manna. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do when your water looks like cappuccino? Yeah. As Eddie said, yeah. What are you going to do with that? Well, you turn, you know, Jim, you didn't have to turn the water on to see what it looked like Tuesday. You could have just said, "We're not going today." Because yesterday, the water looked like mud. Or you could have said, "We don't need the shower. Nobody will notice. It's cold out." Yeah, we don't get that close to the people. Or you could say, "I wonder what God's going to do today." Now, see, Tuesday it cleared up.
Well, now I'm concerned that it wasn't clear. I just thought it was clear.
As a man thinketh in his heart, so it is. Does it really matter, to quote Hillary Clinton? What difference does it make now? All I know is there was a smile on Kay's face when they walked in. Yeah, that's right. You just have to think it. Yeah, we don't realize the power God has given us. Yeah. We really don't realize. That's what the lesson of manna was all about. If it was, he sent quail, they knew what it should taste like, quail. You know, when people tell me, and they used to feed us rabbit a lot in the Navy, and I didn't eat it, I just, yeah. Rabbits are supposed to bring you Easter baskets, not, you know, be on the plate. And they'd say, "Eat it, it tastes like chicken." I said, "Well, then I'm just going to eat chicken. If I want something that tastes like chicken, I'll eat chicken." Yeah. Yeah. Try this. It tastes like, I don't want it to taste. But God said, "You know what? Because I've often wondered, what could you possibly eat for 40 years and not get tired of it?" I thought pizza. Yeah. Especially after meeting Aaron. Yeah. I figured that's the only thing I could think of eating for 40 years. And then when I started researching and realized the tradition says it didn't taste like anything. It tasted like whatever they wanted it to be. So this day, when God sends you something, you can either see it as a trial or an opportunity. How is God going to show up? How's he going to reveal himself my anniversary week? Think about how that week turned out. Think about her testimony. Think about how God does this. And he does it People, if he just did it once, it would be a miracle. But see, we call them miracles. God does it every single day. Every single day. This morning, I just took a truckload of bread to another church. And they said, you know, people will think, well, aren't you worried about Tuesday? We need bread. That's not my problem. Yeah. My problem is, Chancellor said, we'll take the bread on the weekend. So they got the bread this weekend. If it were my storehouse and my ministry, it would be a problem. But all I have to do is say, it's not my job, man. My job is to show up. My job is to go to the store and pick up those three pieces of meat. And when I look at those three pieces of meat, saying, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, there could have been. Here's boxes are this big, that long, and about that wide. There were two of them for three pieces of meat. So when I looked in the freezer, I said, well, two boxes isn't bad. Then I picked them up. One piece in that box. So I said, well, pick the next one up. It was heavier. It had two pieces in it. Yeah. And I can, people, manna is supposed to teach us that very valuable lesson. I'm just giving it to you. Whatever you do with it, whatever this day, you can lay in bed at night and either savor the day and say, man, I had a filet mignon day. Or you can lay in bed and say, I remember the flesh pots of Egypt. It was good in Egypt. Yeah. We had a salad bar. Well, they don't say salad. They say we had leeks and melons, and that was on salad bars. Yeah. We had a salad bar. It was a buffet. They forgot they were making bricks with no straw. See, we kind of forget that when we want to blame. God, why would you bring this to me? Or thank you, Jesus. Somebody gets to see Jesus today. Carol took care of an aged man. Maybe some of you remember his name was Miles Sweet. Yeah, and his name was his character. And Miles had this problem where every so often he would have to go in the hospital and have this blood transfusion. You know, I don't know if he was losing blood. I don't know what the problem was. But since he came all the time, he wasn't a priority. And Miles was kind of aged. And he would lay, they wouldn't even put him in a room. They would put Miles in the hall of the ER for hours, 6, 7, 8 hours. And Miles would lay on the gurney and play his harmonica. 6, 7, he'd play all these hymns, you know. Sometimes he'd stop and he'd sing hymns, and then he'd play hymns. And, you know, I got to thinking, these people are enjoying this private concert. Maybe that's not one. And he would just show them that it wasn't about the illness. It was about the witness. And Miles would just bring joy into that situation. These people are having traumas come in. People are, you know, you're hearing people going, clear! And then out in the hall, there's somebody playing a harmonica. Yeah, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Yeah. They're having people, yeah. Last time I was in the emergency room, there was a guy just, he had lost it. I mean, he was cussing at the nurses and threatening the nurses. And I'm thinking, where's Miles when we need him? Yeah. Where are the Miles of the world? We're created to be a Miles. He went into a situation that was bad and brought joy. What you're given isn't the issue. What you do with what you're given, that's the issue. Yeah. That's manna. Every day to us should be manna. What is it? You get to decide. You get to decide. When you lay down at night, you know, Jay was just talking about traveling 102 miles each way to, the joy word in there is to work. Yeah. Yeah. Because he had been out of work for so long. I'm thinking, I said to Kay this morning, I have to ask Mary if the gas went up down at Sheets. You know? One, what is it, 161? So you get it 158 with a card. Yeah, and you know what really ticks me off? This really bothers me. When I was paying almost $4 a gallon, my truck would go right through it. Now, I'm driving down there, 158. My needle's not moving. Yeah. And then I said, well, thank you, God, I think. You know. See, the blessing is, when it was almost $4 a gallon, I didn't have to pay for it. My daddy did. And now that it's $1.58 a gallon, I don't have to pay for it. My daddy does. If I get 10 miles to the gallon or 30 miles to the gallon, it's his car. He's just letting me use it. And if he can't take care of his car, when it needs to get better mileage, it does. And it changes your whole way of thinking. You know? I told Kay last time I went down there, I said, Kay, I saved almost $6. Well, where is it? You know, I'm thinking. It's not my money. It's his. Everything is his. With children of Israel forgot, it wasn't their manna, it was his. And if you don't treat it properly, like if you get too much, I was telling them in Bible study this morning that a friend of mine, pastor, called, and he lost his entire retirement program. Now, I don't know why, well over $100,000, just gone. He said, I said, well, if you hold on, maybe it'll come back. He said, I don't think you make interest on zero. I mean, my statement was, if you hold on, so let me see, if I can get 10% interest on zero, next year I'll have, yeah, zero. Because when he first called, I do it at the storehouse all the time, people say, how you doing? I said, well, if I was any better, I'd be, and I named their name. And when I said that to him, he said, oh, you don't want to be me today. You really don't want to be me. It's a nice thing to say. No, I don't want to be anybody. I want to be me. See, I've already checked you all out, and I've come to this conclusion. Everybody else is taken, so I'm just going to be me. Yeah. Just going to be me. That's what God says. I formed you in your mother's womb, and I ordained you. He didn't ordain me to be Keith or Carol or Mary or Kay or Jay. He formed me for such a time as this, so that people can learn, look, everybody is dealt a bunch of stuff. What do you do with it? Did you ever receive online that poem about the woman who was getting chemotherapy treatments? And she said, I woke up this morning and my hair is falling out. I said, every time I combed it, there were 5 strands left. She said, so I said, Jesus, what can I do with 5 strands? She said, so I braided it. She said, the next day I got up, there were 3 strands left. Jesus, what can I do with this? She said, so I decided to just wear it in a ponytail. She said, the next day I woke up, there was 1 strand left. I said, I think I'll just wear it down today. She said, the next day I woke up, it was all gone. I said, thank you, Jesus. I don't have to worry about my hair today. Yeah. It's all in the way you look at it. It's all in the way you look at it. Manna, what is it? It's whatever you want it to be. If it's a day that ends in Y, you need to wake up saying, this is the day that God has given me. That's why he calls it the present. It's a gift. That's what you receive, presents. So he calls it the present because it's his gift to you. And here's something people say that, you know, I haven't figured out. They said, man, I figured out a different way to do this job and I saved an hour. Well, what did you do with that hour? Yeah, where did you put it? Yeah, I saved time. And elderly gentleman who runs SECA down in Spotsylvania County, Robert, he used to say, you can never save time and you can't make time. You ever tell somebody, I'll see if I can make time in my schedule? You can't make time and you can't save time. The only thing you can do is take time. Now, so today and every day, we need to say, today is the day the Lord has made, and I will take time to rejoice and be glad in it. Sometimes when we're not having such a great day, I think of the emergency room and walking in. I knew, you know, Miles was okay because I'd hear, you could be out in the waiting room and you could hear him back there playing the harmonica. Yeah. And the people in the whole waiting room, you know, everything just became calm when Miles was there. Why? One person, you know, brought Jesus into chaos. You know, shalom. Remember, we studied the word shalom, and shalom means destroying the chaos. You know, the chaos in your life. That's what Miles would do. And I believe that the people in the ER were at their wits' end, and they didn't know what to do. So they're going, I can't wait for the shift to be over. 2 more hours. And then Miles comes through the door, and they're going, oh, man, I hate to leave this place. I haven't heard that song since I was a child in Sunday school. Once in a while, he said, he'd hear the nurses singing it with him. Yeah. Think about it. Manna. Miles became manna to the ER. I'm thinking, yeah. As Carol said, Keith became manna to us at the storehouse. Because when there's chaos, he just walks up and he has that, you know, like, and he brings peace. Yeah. Why? Because he knows this is the day the Lord has made. And I get to make a choice. I can either let the day control me or I can control the day. And the way I control the day is manna, whatever I want it to be. Have you ever heard a child say, this has been the best day of my life? And then next week they'll say, this has been the best day of my life. And then the next week they'll say, this has been the best day of which time were they telling the truth? All of them. But that should be us. Jesus, this has been the best day of my life because I got to see you in, and fill in the blank, in somebody being removed who was, according to Apostle Paul, somebody's thorn in the flesh. You know, when the thorn's removed, it feels better, doesn't it, Mary? Feels good. She had enough sense to realize it was God using someone else as a pair of tweezers. See, sometimes you just need to be a pair of tweezers. You know, sometimes you need to be a hammer. Yeah. Sometimes 20 grit sandpaper and sometimes extra fine. But allow God to make that decision. You just say, today, my spiritual appetite is going to feed on manna, whatever I choose it to be. I can either freeze to death in 72 degree weather because of what I'm allowing my mind to do, or I can say, they're going to open the door in the morning. It's not really that cold in here. No. Think about it. What choices are you making? How are you going to handle it? You know? Yesterday morning went out to start the truck because I ran the battery all the way. I mean, if it gets below 20 degrees, the truck doesn't start. You know, the big storehouse truck. So it didn't start. Now, as brilliant as I am, I keep turning it thinking maybe the truck didn't look at the thermometer. Yeah. Maybe it doesn't know it's below 20 degrees. And I keep turning it, turning it, turning it. Finally, it just goes, But I keep turning the key because, you know, maybe it'll speed up. Yeah. And then it stops doing, and it just makes a sound like, dumb guy, dumb guy, dumb guy. Well, it was making that sound Thursday. Yeah. So we ran and we did the pickup in my little white truck. And I get here yesterday morning. I said, you know, I want to pray. I brought a battery charger to charge the battery. I said, before I charge the battery, I'm going to turn the key. Prayed, turned the key, and the truck started. And I'm thinking, why couldn't it do this yesterday? Maybe I should have prayed the day before. So then I let it run. I said, no, I'm going to see if it starts again. I turned it off. Started right back up. Yeah. I said, you know, it's going to be cold this weekend. Maybe I'll put the battery charger on it. I put the battery charger on it, and it went up to full charge as soon as I put it on. I went, maybe it's right. Dumb guy, dumb guy, dumb guy. Yeah. I forgot about manna. It's whatever I want it to be. And, you know, that day was a great day. Yes, we had to come back more often. Instead of doing one trip, we had to go to a store and come back, and go to a store and come back, go to a store and come back. But praise God, you know, we can go to a store and come back. We could go to a store and not have to come back because they have nothing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there's always enough. Why? Because we drive the truck? No. Because we serve a God who loves the people that he's bringing here enough. It isn't that he loves me that much, although I am his favorite. Yeah. But he loves those people he brings. One of my favorite evangelists, ancient evangelists, said back in the day, back in the 50s, you know, when you flew, you didn't have concourse to go down. You had to walk across the tarmac and go up steps and He said he was sitting on the plane and he saw the pilot coming out. He said, drunk as a skunk. At least that's what he thought, anyhow. You know, by their fruits you will know them. He said, so I prayed the whole flight. He said, we landed safe, he said, in Philadelphia. And I got off. I said, thank you, Jesus, for watching over me. He said, as clear as day, Jesus spoke to me and said, you? I was looking out for the drunk pilot. Yeah, I mean, he was responsible for all the people on the plane. Think about it. We make it about us. Let's make it about others. How do you do that? This is the day the Lord has made. I have chosen this day to be steak. Yeah. I have chosen whatever your favorite food is. See, Jay would never choose steak. Yeah. Never choose steak. But maybe veggie links for Jay. Yeah. Whatever your favorite food is, that's the way your day can be. Just like it says. What is it? What is it? Reading this morning, The Mystery of the Shemitah, chart the way the rabbis tried to get around the Sabbath. Not the weekly Sabbath, the seven-year Sabbath. They would have 6 years, and the seventh year was the Sabbath, and they weren't allowed to farm on the seventh year. They had to leave the fields, and you know what happens if you don't farm? Yeah. The principle of sowing, not only could they not farm, they weren't allowed to reap the volunteer stuff that came up. That was for anybody who wanted it could come on their property and get it. So the priests figured out ways to get around that. Yeah. Not realizing this was God's plan. I'm here to tell you, don't try to mess with God's plan. This is the day he has made. And he has made it for you to rejoice and be glad in it. Don't mess with it. Don't mess with it. Because God plays hardball. Yeah. If you allow him to do it and you think like that, you say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What's the song say? If I never had a problem, I would never know that he could solve them. Manna. What was the lesson for them? 40 years. And you know what happened? None of them got to go into the promised land. None of them. Why? Slow learners. I don't know about the rest of you. We're going through the feast on Thursday night at prayer meeting. I plan on going to the promised land. Yeah. I plan on going. I'm tired of marching out in the wilderness. You know, I think the text says we've circled this mountain long enough. I'm tired of it. We're in a Shemitah year right now. Getting ready. No, this is Shemitah year. And it will end on Elul 29, the last day of the year. Not that day, the evening, remember? It always starts in the evening. And so that's when something will happen. It's happened every Shemitah year for the last, 6,000 years. It's not going to change now. Not going to change. I get excited thinking about how somebody said, what is it when you get somebody, life gives you lemons, make lemonade? You get to be squeezed as the lemon, and I guess you have to be your own sugar to make it sweet. They said, what is it? Because they didn't know what it was. Moses told them, It is bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather as much of it as each person needs to eat. You may take 2 quarts. Where did you hear that again? I think one of the other versions says, you can get a measure. That's where we get 2 quarts as a measure. And New Testament says, I've given to everyone a measure of faith. That's 2 quarts. And all you need is a mustard seed. Yeah. It says, Moses said to them, no one is to let any of it remain. People, this is the day the Lord has made. Don't let any of it remain. Yeah. Don't go to bed with your to-do list saying, you know what I do with my to-do list? Probably frustrates people. At the end of the day, I throw it away. Yeah. Otherwise, I never get to my to-do list. I just do what I have to do that day. Most of the days, my list is longer than my day. Yeah. Don't gather. We plan for years in advance. When I retire, foolish man, build bigger barns. This day, you're coming home. Moses said to them, no one is to let any remain until morning. But they didn't listen to Moses. Some people left part of it until morning. What if God doesn't show up tomorrow? You know, okay. What if we go Monday and there's only 3 more pieces of meat? Yeah. Great man of faith that I am. Today when I went, I looked in and there was 2 boxes. I said, I'm not opening them. They're full. I know they're full. If they aren't today, they will be by the time I pick them up Monday. Now, I don't know how, but they're full. Yeah. They didn't believe. That's our problem. We just don't believe. Yeah, I know God blessed me last week. I know God blessed me 4 days ago. I know God blessed me yesterday. But I'm not sure about today. Does he know what I'm facing? Wasn't that Jeremiah saw? Do you know how old I am? Does he know what I'm facing? Does he know the financial problems I have? And God saying, looks at Gabriel, he says, does he know the gold I have? Does he know the health problems I have? And he looks and says to Jesus, does he know by your stripes that he's healed? Does he know the bondage I'm in with drugs? Jesus, didn't they listen when you say, when the Son sets you free, you're free indeed? There is nothing he can't do. Nothing. That's no thing. If you take the manna, it's all about the manna. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we think about days that come our way, Father, it's just manna. We have no clue, according to your word, what tomorrow will bring. As a matter of fact, we do have a clue. It says tomorrow will have enough problems of its own. But Father, it just gives us an opportunity to see you work even more. Father, thank you for allowing us to understand who you are and to know who we are. We are a child of the living God. You are the one who said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor my children begging bread. How dare we? How dare we fret over what we face after the price you paid to set us free indeed? Use us, Father. Use us to claim your promises and proclaim your name to those we come in contact with. Father, not always through words, but as the bumper sticker says, preach the gospel, use words if necessary. Let them see, let them perceive we have been with Jesus. Accomplish it, Father, not because we ask it, but because you promised it. And we're here to claim that promise. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I'm going to ask you to do something today because this is the blessing. One of the reasons we chose this blessing is because we're going through the feast. This is the way we end each week. But I know this is going to be uncomfortable. I know it can hurt. Hopefully they're not, nobody's videoing it because take it to a conservative church, you could be thrown out. But I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. Because what that does, that becomes a funnel so that the Spirit can do what this says. He says, to Aaron and his sons, how you are to bless the Israelites, say to them, now you receive this through your funnel. The Lord bless you and protect you. Receive it.
Amen.
The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Receive it.
Amen.
The Lord look with favor on you and give you peace. Amen.